I wanted to look at just one phrase out of a series of passages, Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, in verses 1 through 8. Though when we read through these, those of us that were growing up in the 60s can't help but sing through Turn, Turn, Turn by the Byrds that went to number one in December of 1965, written by Pete Seeger way back in 1959. I remember when I was growing up that I heard this song and liked it, even though at that time I was an avowed atheist, as was the man who wrote the song. Wow. Okay. Some things in the Bible are really popular. Anyway, let's read through Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 1 through 8. Solomon writing says, starting in verse 1, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." For everything, there's a time. And that's what it says here in verse 1, "For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven." We want to focus, though, on just one small part of this phrase, a time to keep silence. There are things that we need to consider about when we need to keep silent, and conversely, when we don't need to keep silent. I also wanted to look at Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37, even though I don't have that on the chart here. But in Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37, it's written, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good," this is Jesus speaking, "or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So when Solomon says in verse 7 that there's a time to keep silence, and he also says, and there's a time to speak. "Give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And then in James, the third chapter, in verses 5 through 10, James, the third chapter, verses 5 through 10, it's written, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. A greater forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." Also in Proverbs, the 18th chapter, in verse 21, Proverbs, the 18th chapter, in verse 21, one that we'll study in just a few weeks. Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." And then in Psalms, the 39th chapter, in verse 1, "I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence." I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we proceed on. So we see that there's a lot about the tongue that we need to discuss. There's a lot about the mouth that we need to discuss as far as how we live our lives in accordance with God's word. And he says amongst this that there is a time to keep silence. So when we talk about a time to keep silence, we understand that the way we use our tongue, if we use it properly, judiciously, it can be to our benefit and to those around us. Many times that's not the case, but we need to be the ones that use our tongues judiciously, because by that we will benefit not only ourselves, but the others, the people that hear us. So, for example, we're admonished in Proverbs, the 17th chapter, in verse 28, which we'll get to in just a couple of weeks. It's actually question 20 in our Proverbs study. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. I think we read this morning. Yeah. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. And then in Proverbs, the 26th chapter, in verse 4, there you go, Lynn. It's all the way up in lesson 7, question 8. Proverbs, the 26th chapter, in verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. We are admonished to judiciously use our tongues, that we can see that even a person who's foolish will be considered wise if he keeps his mouth shut. And, of course, there's that saying from the olden days, you might say, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. That sort of introduces what we want to say this morning. So, a time to keep silence. There are a number of times when we need to think about whether this is a time to keep silence. And one of those times is when we don't know all the facts. So when we get into this practical discussion about when to be silent, we need to understand that if we don't know all the facts, then we shouldn't be blabbing our mouths about something. In Proverbs, the 18th chapter, in verse 13, this is question number 24, by the way. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, in verse 13, it's written, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Haven't we heard that ourselves? Maybe we've done that ourselves. Somebody's saying, and we just jump right in before we even have all the facts. We jump in before the other person even shuts his mouth. That's answering before he hears is just, it's not a good idea. And God shows that that indeed is not a good idea. It is his folly and shame, it says in the English Standard Version. And then Ephesians, Proverbs, the 18th chapter and verse 17, which we won't study specifically in the Proverbs class. Proverbs 18 and 17 says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. You might be talking to someone, and this kind of reminds me sort of gossip. In other words, somebody says something to you and you say, well, that sounds right, but we were talking about that in class today. He says, oh yeah, I agree on this. And then somebody else comes and, oh yeah, I agree on that too. And it's like, all right, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. In other words, there's two sides to a story, and that's what God is saying here. And then another time to keep silence, of course, is when it's none of our business. And the Bible talks about that also, when it's none of our business. So, for example, in John, the 21st chapter, in verses 21 and 22, Jesus is talking to his apostles. And I should have looked this. This is on the night in which he was betrayed. In John, the 21st chapter, I'm going to look that up because the context doesn't, I don't want to tell you something wrong. John 21. Yes, of course. This is after Jesus' resurrection, John 21st chapter, and they're at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is talking with them and says in verse 21 of John 21, when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, Jesus wasn't trying to be snarky there or anything, but he's essentially telling Peter this, none of his business. God works in his own ways. We have other verses that tell us about that also. So when it's none of our business, we need to consider that it's none of our business and we should keep silent. And also in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, in verses 10 and 11, which I think I expanded this in my notes, went from 9 till 12. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, in verses 9 through 12, it's written, Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may live properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So Paul, in talking to the church at Thessalonica, tells them that the people should mind their own affairs. But notice that this is in a passage that has to do with love of the brethren and things like that. So we need to understand that indeed minding our own business has a certain relationship to whether we love our brothers or not the way that we're supposed to. So that's part of keeping silent. And also in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter in verse 15, which of course is much more direct. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, it's written, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler." And the American Standard Version continues on, "in other men's matters." Let none of you suffer as a meddler. As evil, you see, it's interesting to note that he has murderer, thief, evildoer, or a meddler in other men's matters. That's sort of the catchphrase that we have, sin is sin. You know, because we talk about from time to time people saying, well, that's just a little white lie. You go, no, a lie is a lie. Sin is sin. I was going to bring that up in class, but never found a proper point to discuss it when we were talking about situational ethics. And that's because the people don't believe that there's such a thing as absolute truth. Well, this book is full of absolute truths. And you remember that bumper sticker from a number of years ago, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Make any difference whether you believe it or not. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Let's not be a meddler in other men's matters. And then in 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, and verses 10 through 12, this is not the only time that the word busybody is used, but it is used here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 10, it's written, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." So we have a direction from the Lord in how we ought to live our lives in regard to one another and how we ought to live our lives generally. And it says that we should not be busybodies. And so a time to keep silence indeed is when we don't have all the facts and when it's none of our business. But another time to keep silence is when our words would destroy a friendship. And I think we've talked about this some in the last few weeks about these kind of relationships here. And so if we look at, for example, Proverbs the 16th chapter, going back a chapter from where we have been, Proverbs 16, verse 28 says, A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. So once again, we're talking about a lot about gossip here also, but we're talking about a person essentially that talks behind another person's back. A whisperer separates close friends. And then in 17:9, where we've been just recently, it says essentially the same thing. "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." So I think we had discussed this a couple of weeks ago about the fact that essentially just because I have something to say doesn't mean I need to say it. It says, and when it talks about an offense, I don't think it necessarily means a sin. I don't know whether or not the New American Standard uses sin there in that place or not, but the English Standard Version says whoever covers an offense seeks love. You know, I may be offended because you don't like my tie. You may be offended because you don't like my tie. That's an offense, but it's not something worth discussing. And it's certainly not something that separates close friends. See, now I like Leo's tie, and he's going to give me that one so that I can wear it next time with this shirt. And then We hear this all the time. Don't say anything about anybody that you wouldn't want to come back to them. That's something we really need to think about. When so-and-so walks out of the room, you go, you know, and it's like, no. We should refrain from doing that. Though I think we do it at work all the time, at least in my office, perhaps. We shouldn't. Don't say anything that you don't want to come back to them. But also, when it comes right down to it, don't just take offense at everything. A lot of people will say, oh, I don't like what he said. And they go, we don't need to take offense at every little thing that's said. And so in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verses 21 and 22, Solomon talks specifically about this, about not taking offense at everything. Solomon writes, starting in verse 21 of Ecclesiastes 7, do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. So watch it. That's something that we need to think about toward ourselves also. What we want to make sure that we don't do is destroy or damage a friendship because of something that we say, because we're not using that thinking thing that God gave us to think with. We need to be using our brains all the time. We need to be thinking about what we're going to say before we say it. I think we talked about those that are quick to speak, quick to anger. I believe we mentioned that today in class also. So we want to keep silent when our words are damaging. We need to think about what we're going to do. That's not to say that we need to ignore sin, but we shouldn't be talking about people in such a way that we damage a friendship with them. We need to also keep silent when our words would damage a reputation. A lot of that goes on. It's very similar to the one that we just talked about. But it says in Proverbs, the 16th chapter and verse 27, a worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. If we look at it in the New King James Version, it says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. So English Standard says a worthless man plots evil. New King James says an ungodly man digs up evil. A lot of people do that. They just try to dig up bad facts about people or bad stories about people that simply don't have to do with facts. I think Mickey had a couple of stories or a couple of episodes that he talked about in his time as a preacher when he was younger. When our reputation when our words would damage a reputation, we need to consider that even if the matter is true, we have to ask a few things. And I think Mickey also used to use this as the guard that we need to have. We need to ask, is it kind? Is it necessary? And most of all, will it help? If the things that I have to say are not fulfilling all those categories there, then perhaps it's something that I ought not to say. That the time to keep silence is when we might damage a reputation by failing to consider whether it's kind, necessary, or helpful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, this is sort of something that we can compare. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and verse 7, Paul writes, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We have a tendency many times to think of, well, like the one we said, you know, the first person that's there sounds believable. We have a tendency to believe the first one that says something. But we need to understand that if we have love, we bear all things and we believe all things. So unless something is proved wrong, our first inclination should be to believe it. If it's wrong, then it will come out. And so if our words damage a reputation, then that's something that we need to think about keeping silent about. Once again, that's not to let sin pass away, but to understand that we need to consider our words and consider our thoughts in everything that we do. the time to keep silence when it's just been said over and over and over and over. Mickey would do that. And when we get to the fifth one, I'd say, I'm going to throw a songbook at you. He would say, well, people say this over and over and over and over and over. You can only say it three times, that's all. Three times is the limit. But you have to understand that we have a tendency many times to repeat ourselves, and unnecessarily so, too many times. We're going to have a couple of scriptures here about the wife, but they're just illustrations that are used now. Remember, I didn't write them. So, Proverbs, the 19th chapter, and verse 13. Proverbs 19 and 13. A foolish son is ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. And it talks about the continual admonitions of another person to one who's, well, the implication here is not necessarily listening. That may be the case also. And then in Proverbs, the 27th chapter, in verses 15 and 16, Proverbs 27, verse 15 and 16, it's written, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind, or to grasp oil in one's right hand. Now, we need to understand that husbands can be just as guilty, and parents to children can be just as guilty as this. A continual dripping, and to think about to restrain is like to restrain the wind or to grasp oil in one's right hand. That's hard to do. And so the only principles that we're trying to point out here, and that God is trying to point out, is that there are times when we need to admonish people. But it also, when it comes to be a continual dripping, as it says here, then we need to consider what we're doing. And we as parents, and we as husbands and wives, need to consider whether we're just talking to hear ourselves talk. And we need to understand, we need to ask ourselves, is the repetition productive? If it's not, then it's not something that we ought to be talking about. And Ephesians, the fourth chapter and verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So the speech that we give needs to be, as it says, with grace to those that hear. It's for the purpose of building people up. In other words, edifying people, as we see in other language. And so we've looked at the fact that time to keep silence when we don't know all the facts and when it's none of our business, when our words would destroy a friendship or they damage a relationship or a reputation, we have said. Or it's a time to keep silent, perhaps when we've said it many times before. But it's also a time to keep silence when it's time to listen. And there's maybe you say, well, what if I have something to say? Well, there are times for us to listen, to pay attention. In Proverbs 13:1, it says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. We've studied that in our Proverbs class also. But we listen to the father's instructions, but a person that doesn't listen to the rebuke, that person is a scoffer, it says. A scoffer does not listen to rebuke. We need to understand that there is a time for us to pay attention, a time for us to listen, a time for us to think about what's being said rather than what we need to say. And once again, I'll repeat something, I guess, that somebody told me, though I can't remember the exact words. But the fact is that if you're talking with someone, listen to them as opposed to preparing your response. Prepare your response when they're done talking. Pay attention. Listen to them. And then respond as is necessary. But we have a tendency to kind of zone things out. All right, I don't believe what this person is saying. I don't agree, or something like that. Now I'm formulating my own plan. Let's not do that. James, first chapter and verse 19. Of course, very similar, very familiar to us. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I think that might have been on your list this morning. Yeah. Quick to hear, slow to speak. That's important for us to know when it's the time to keep silence, because it's time to learn. And then Ezekiel, the third chapter in verses 14 and 15. I was tempted to read a good portion of Ezekiel, the third chapter here, but we'll just go with 14 through 16. Ezekiel has been speaking with God, or God has been speaking with Ezekiel starting since verse 1 in here. And then he says, starting in verse 14, the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, the hand of the Lord being strong upon me. And I came to the exiles at Tel Abib, who were dwelling by Kibar, the Kibar canal. And I sat where they were dwelling, and I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Now, he'd been speaking with the Lord about these folks previously and about how Israel was continuing to just turn away from God. And you should read Ezekiel, the third chapter. It's very interesting to read. But he listened to the words of God, Ezekiel had. He listened to those. Now he was ready to speak the words that God had spoken to him. He did that to the exiles that were at Tel Abib, near the river Kibar, and God had already told Ezekiel, they're not going to listen, but you need to tell them anyway. So Ezekiel knew when it was time to listen to God, and then he knew when it was time to speak. Another time then to keep silence is when it's time to work. And of course we have a number of passages that we can look at in the Old Testament regarding getting to work. One of them, in Proverbs 14th chapter and verse 23 that we've already studied in our class, Proverbs the 14th chapter and verse 23 says, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. So it's like we think about the Caltrans crews we see on the road. There's one guy down there in the ditch. There's two guys leaning on their shovels. And you think, we have to work. Not just talk about it. Said, the guys leaning on their shovels can't say, boy, I wish that hole would get done sooner. You know, it'd get done sooner if you'd pitch in and help. I'm sure there's some rationale behind all that, but still, that's what it looks like. So in toil there's profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. And so if all I'm going to do is talk about it, it's not going to go anywhere. It says it tends toward poverty. And then in, I put all of those up at once, didn't I? All right. Then in John the 9th chapter in verse 4, John the 9th chapter in verse 4, Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. We have to work the works of the person that sent Jesus. In other words, we have to work the works of God. That's something that we need to do, and we need to consider doing every day of our lives. But the thing is that we have to work the works. We can't just talk the talk. We can't do, as it was said there in Proverbs, mere talk only tends to poverty. We need to work. Work as God has told us to. In Nehemiah, the second chapter in verses 17 and 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Now we're talking about the building of the wall in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah has gone about and he's checked out what's going on and seen all the destruction of the wall around Jerusalem. He's been out at night to see what's going on and has come back and realized that, wow, it's not good. And Nehemiah, speaking in chapter 2, starting in verse 17, says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Now, it didn't go as well as it might have for a while, but we understand then, whoops, don't do that. We understand then that we look at Nehemiah, the fourth chapter in verse 6. It says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And that's what we need to be. We need to be a people that has a mind to work. Now, we're having a work day here on Saturday the 7th, but that's not what we're talking about here. Though, physically, that's what Nehemiah is talking about working. But we need to work the works of God. And so when these people proclaim, let us rise up and build, and then the people had a mind to work, that's the kind of people we ought to be. The people that are ready to rise up and work and have a mind to work. That's indeed something for us to think about. So the time to keep silence is when it's time to work. And let's do that. That's what we need to do as proclaimers of the gospel of the Lord here on this earth. That's our task. It's our job. So we've talked about a number of things that have to do with the time to keep silence. And we need to keep silent when we don't know all the facts. We need to keep silent when it's none of our business. We need to keep silent when our words would destroy a friendship or damage a reputation. We need to keep silent when we've said it more times than we need to say it. And we need to keep silent when it's time to listen and when it's time to work. We need to listen and we need to work, because those are the things that the gospel admonishes us to do, is to work, as the song says, work for the night is coming. And that's what we need to do. So these few items are something that I thought were appropriate to the scripture there in Ecclesiastes that talks about the fact that there's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. And we need to consider that in the lives that we live and how we spend our time. And we need to pray to God to give us the wisdom to know when to keep silent. Keep the silence about us, because that's what we need to do. Of course, obviously, we need to continue to work with God and work on God's side to preach the gospel to others. And when we do that, we understand that they can then obey the gospel. And in obeying the gospel, we need to understand that there are a number of things that the New Testament tells us about what is necessary for us to obey the gospel. First of all, we have to hear the word of God. In James, the first chapter, in verse 21, it's written, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So that word needs to be within us, not just on the surface. You know, you see the parable of the soils and you think, well, there's four soils talked about there, and there's only one in which the word is implanted. That's what it needs to be with us. The word needs to be implanted within us. And so we need to hear the word of God. We also need to believe the gospel message about Jesus Christ. And in 1 John, the third chapter, in verses 23 and 24, it says, and this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. We indeed have to do that in order to obey the gospel that Jesus Christ has preached to us. We need to repent of our sins because it's commanded of us. And we see that throughout the Bible, that we need to turn away from evil and turn to God. In Acts 13, the third chapter, in verse 19, it's written, repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. And of course, that's what repentance is a turn around from the way that you're doing. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans, the 10th chapter, in verses 9 and 10, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So confession is something that we have to do also. And that's something, of course, that we can do in our daily lives on a not so verbal sense, but we need to be confessing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and God. And in the things that we do and the things that we say, one needs to be immersed in water for the remission of sins, because that's what the gospel says. In Acts, the 2nd chapter in verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. We need to consider that, as too many consider that way too lightly. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, once we've done those things, we have to remain faithful. We have to be the kind of people that God would want us to be. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, Paul writes there, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. We don't want to have gone partway through our lives and given up on God and realize, of course, that we believed in vain because we've given up on him. We need to remain faithful our entire lives. So given all these things, if there's anything that we can do to help you to become a Christian by immersing you in water for the remission of your sins, or to pray for you, or anything else that we can do to encourage you to remain faithful, then please let us know while we stand and sing this song.